Hello and welcome to 35 Minute Movies Presents the Emma Stoners. This is the podcast we're going through Emma Stone's entire filmography and we're ranking and reviewing as we go. I'm Cameron. As always, I'm joined by Emma Stone's number one fan, I guess, to be decided slightly, Awais. How are you doing today, Awais?
I'm good. I'm very good. We're once again talking about the queen of cinema, the best actress of all time. Yes. Some very interesting films to discuss today. Very, very, very interesting, because one's obviously a super, super iconic film. And the other, I think, like, barely anyone has heard of. No one has heard of.
I hadn't heard of it until I looked into the movies today. It was completely flying under the radar. We'll just jump in and talk about that first. First one we're talking about today is Paper Man, or if you're in the UK, Unlikely Hero. It's directed by Kieran and Michelle Maroney. Stars Ryan Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Lisa Kudrow, and of course Emma Stone. Awais, can you tell me what happens in this movie, please?
Yeah, basically it's described as a coming of middle age comedy, and Richard Dunn, who's played by Jeff Daniels, he's this sort of author that sort of, you know, the work that he has done has sort of failed, and he's struggling to sort of write the next thing, and he sort of moves to Long Island to get away and to write, and he befriends this teen called Abby, who's played by Emma Stone, and it's sort of, the film chronicles their sort of very unlikely friendship, and Abby basically sort of teaches Dunn to sort of grow up, and obviously he teaches her just to sort of, you know, embrace her sort of weirdness, and Ryan Reynolds plays Richard's imaginary friend. He's a superhero known as Captain Excellent, and that's pretty much it. It's like a very, you know, quirky indie film. Yeah. Like, it's a sort of, you know, quintessential sort of indie plot, I think.
Yeah, it's, if it got any more indie, I think it would have just imploded on itself. It physically can't get any more indie. It's so low-key. You know, you got some, like, guitar. The soundtrack is basically just guitars. It's just, like, sits and just quirks about all day. It's incredibly annoying, I thought. You know, I did not jive with this film whatsoever. I thought it was so annoying, just in the way it presents itself. And it's a shame, because Jeff Daniels and Emma Stone are really quite good in it together. It's a really great pairing. Yeah. But the overall film and sort of just tone it strikes just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, I guess, because it's just, maybe it wasn't overdone at the time, but it just feels so sort of overdone.
It feels forced. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels so forced, and it's trying to be sort of not like underground, but just sort of this like quirky indie film and like quirky comedy. And it just didn't work for me at all. I don't know about you.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy it. But, like, I definitely know what you mean. Like, it's trying too hard to be an indie film, almost.
Yeah.
It is strange. This whole sort of concept of it is strange. But the film's, like, really trying to emphasize that. It's really trying to be, like, look how zany and idiosyncratic this movie is. Like, we are weird. You know, we're quirky. And I think when it does that, it doesn't work very well. And when the film sort of isn't trying to be that, when it leans back on its characters and its writing and its plot, and it just lets everything happen naturally, that's when it's at its best. Yeah. And like, there are some great scenes. I mean, you're right, the chemistry between Jeff and Emma is fantastic, and there's some sort of great scenes where the characters just sort of, you know, reflecting on life and getting to know one another and just chatting, and I think that's when the film's at its best, like that, because that's when it then really gets that sort of indie tone right, and it feels sort of very, you know poignant and sort of profound without trying to be. I definitely agree with you there.
100%. I really did like those moments a lot. It would be them just sitting or like standing and talking to each other. I mean, he hires her as like a babysitter when he doesn't have a baby.
When just he doesn't have a kid,
to
get
him in the house. Yeah. I guess because I picked him, he was striving to kind of have a daughter because he didn't have a daughter, and he was sort of trying to come to terms with the fact and have a daughter and sort of using this father almost.
And she didn't really friendship have a father. As a father daughter, either, yeah.
Father daughter relationships. They're both sort of like the missing piece for each other. And I know it was, those two were so cute together and they were so, it just, this father daughter relationship was just, yeah, it really did. It helped the movie from being, I guess, it stopped the movie from being too annoying for me. Yeah. I like that element of it. But I know whenever Emma Stone wasn't there, whenever it wasn't those two together, it just sort of was Jeff Daniels running around the house with Ryan Reynolds
what did you think of Ryan Reynolds?
I felt like I get the point. I don't know. It just seemed so. I don't know if he was right for the role, if that makes sense.
I know what you mean.
Which is so weird because when you think of superhero now, obviously you'd think of Ryan Reynolds. You'd think of Ryan Reynolds as a superhero, but it just didn't sort of. I guess the costume. Maybe it was something to do with the costume. I don't know if it was something to do with the costume. The way he sort of did it, but it just didn't, like, him as the imaginary friend, it didn't work, and it just seemed really out of place. But
like, even then, it's when you think of Ryan Reynolds as a superhero, you think of Deadpool.
Yeah.
You think of, like, just the most violent, you know, crude superhero out there. And to me, seeing him as Captain Excellent, this sort of, like, gold standard for, like, you know, what people can be like, I watching it after Deadpool's out and everything, and I wonder if that would have been different had, you know, I seen this when it came out.
Yeah.
But I just can't see Ryan Reynolds as that, like, that kind of hero, you know, that kind of clean cut, you know, poster boy hero.
Yeah, and seeing him with blonde hair as well, that was like very strange.
The blonde hair.
Did you like the blonde hair?
I like it. I think it's cool. I think it's a good look.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was, I don't know, the character design was very strange. Also, a small, just a quick shout out to Kieran Culkin, who's in this movie as well.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't know he was in it until that, because obviously no one really is in the on the poster bar of Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Daniels. So you don't even realize it's an Emma Stone movie until you watch the.
That's a good guess, for sure.
Yeah. Kieran Culkin's great as the little sort of loner friend of Emma Stone's with a small twist of it. But
they do some interesting stuff with his character, which I really liked.
Yeah, I thought he was sort of the unsung hero of the movie as well.
Yeah.
I loved what he did, but yeah, I don't know. There isn't much to say about this movie, I guess, because I was really hoping there'd be much more to say. But it just feels like there isn't, if that makes sense. I mean,
yeah, because you said last week that you thought it sounded like it would be your kind of film.
Yeah,
I don't know whether we said that on camera or off camera, but I remember because I remember we were chatting about it.
I think we did. I think I'm gonna be. I think the contrast of watching me at the end of episode 2 and beginning of episode 3, I'll be very, very, be like, oh yeah, I can't wait, I'm so excited. Then it'll be like me going, oh well, it was fine, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I held it to a high standard. I don't know. I don't know what happened here.
I think, you know what? I think it is partly the plot is weird. Like, yes, Jeff and Emma have good chemistry. And yes, that when that dynamic works, it's strong. But the getting there is so kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where it's like not... Again, it's this film being like, hey, it's, you know, like, inauthenticity is what's quirky here, but, like, it's just way too sort of forced for me, like, how they sort of set up the dynamic.
It takes a while to get there.
Creeper vibes, like, inviting her over and she stays, and I'm just like, really? Like, it's just such a bad setup.
This movie going to take a dark turn? Is it going to get...
Yeah, well, 100%. I wasn't sure. You know, you can't tell because it seems like maybe it is going to.
Yeah. No, I'd love to know. I'd love to know what other people thought of this movie, because I guess no one's really watched it as well. Like, yeah. It seems to be the lowest watched on Emma Stone's list sort of situation. And
yeah.
Yeah, I know. If you have any thoughts, please tweet us or comment below, because I would love to hear about that. I'd love to hear what people thought about this movie, because it is so under the radar and is not
she's very about. Proud Em was very proud of it,
yeah, and that's fair enough, but I guess it got shoved away because no one was really, I don't know, maybe it didn't vibe for everyone else as well, but
yeah, It's a weird. Yeah, I feel like many people haven't seen it. I think I talked last week about how I ended up discovering it was because Emma was like singing its praises as one of her sort of more unseen films. To be fair, yeah, talking about Emma, she is fantastic in it. Like, she's easily, you know, the thing sort of keeping it together. I mean, her and Jeff Daniels, but like Emma is just, you know, so great.
Oh, for sure.
It's very
awkward, offbeat
teen. Like we've seen her many times already in her career so far.
I just was looking at the writers and directors of this went on to write the live action, well, not live action because it's already live action, the reboot of Power Rangers in 2017. They wrote the Power Rangers movie. Fun fact for you. And that's the only thing they've done since. The only thing they did up to that point, and the only thing they did that, that's the only thing they've done since then. So
I definitely think they came into their own by Power Rangers in terms of writing that quirky sort of juvenile, you know, those quirky sort of juvenile characters. Like, I think Power Rangers does it much better.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I see what you mean there, because, yeah, there is a slight parallel of the teenager characters in Power Rangers in this. So, yeah, that kind of tracks. You got anything else you'd like to add before we move on to scoring this movie?
Not really. I mean, there's, you know, it's a good movie, but there's not loads to talk about. You know, you're right, it is very simplistic in its nature, I think. Yeah. For better or for worse, I think,
for sure. Oh, sorry, I'm gonna cut this out.
That's cool. I'm just having a quick look at that. I didn't realize I hadn't looked at the trivia. There is none.
There's no trivia.
Just that this is the second film that Emma Stone and Lisa Kudrow appear in together, and Emma Stone and Ryan Reynolds work together in The Croods. That's it. So that's fine.
Oh, right. Oh, God, stretch out there. I don't know what's happened. Okay. So, what are you giving this out of 5?
I'm going to give it 3. Yeah, I'm going to be generous here. I did enjoy it. I think it tries too hard, and it is very awkward. But like, I think the sort of small moments where it works, it really, really works for me. And again, I think all the performances are really good. I think, you know, Jeff Daniels and Emma Stone are terrific in it. And yeah, I enjoyed the sort of quirk of it. I rewatched it again last night, and I still found there to be some charm within it. So yeah, I would say 3. What about yourself?
I'm gonna go 2. This is like the third movie in a row I've given a 2, but yeah, I think I'm just gonna go 2. I just didn't. It wasn't for me. That's all I can really say.
Which is completely fair. Yeah.
I didn't like the score. I didn't like a lot of the tone. I didn't like a lot of. I think the two stars, one for Jeff Daniels and one for Emma Stone. That's kind of it. You know what I mean?
Valid. Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at. Where I'm sat with it. So yeah.
I remember you were saying that you thought the theme, or there was something about the theme for Paper Man being used in Free Guy, but it was a different Paper Man.
It was a different Paper Man. I was really upset because I was sitting through the end credits of Free Guy, thinking, oh, there might be an end credits scene, because I was seeing a preview screen of it, so there was nothing on the internet, so I couldn't look up. And I was thinking, oh, Ryan Reynolds movie must be something in the end. There wasn't anything in the end, but I did look at the music while it was coming up, and it was like, Paper Man, Christopher Beck, theme from Paper Man, Christopher Beck. And I was like, oh, shit. He used because the one on Ryan Reynolds was a fucking...
He's in Paper Man, yeah.
He's in a movie called Paper Man in the US. So yeah, I was like, oh, shit. And then I looked in the Free Guy trivia to see if anyone had added it, and they were like, yes, it uses the theme from a Christopher Beck scored Pixar short Paper Man of the same name. Ryan Reynolds also starred in a movie called Paper Man. And I was like, oh, fuck, okay.
Oh, God, so that's a bit depressing.
But hey,
that would have been cool. That would have been a great
trivia, but it wasn't. It wasn't. That was a shame. Next up, we are talking about Zombieland, directed by Ruben Fleischer. It stars Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Abigail Breslin, and of course Emma Stone. iconic movie, I have to say.
Iconic, yeah.
But Oasis, can you tell me what happens in this movie, please?
Yeah, basically it's the early 21st century. Zombies have taken over. There's a sort of young college student in Texas. He's survived thus far by following 30 rules. And he decides to travel to Ohio. He decides to travel to Ohio to see if his parents are alive. And on his way, he bumps into like this hardened sort of zombie veteran called Tallahassee, who plays Woody Harrelson. And then they bump into Wichita and Little Rock, played by Emma Stone and Abigail Breslin. And then it's basically this little group trying to navigate the zombie apocalypse together, and sort of finding a family within each other as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's so good. It's so funny. It's short. It gets to the point. There's not a minute where it stops for breath in the best way possible. You know what I mean? It keeps going. All the main cast, incredible. Zombie effects are incredible. Jokes are incredible. Yeah. What do you think of it?
I really enjoy it. I only watched it for the first time ahead of Zombieland Double Tap coming out a couple of years ago. And again, I feel like, you know, we talked about sort of House Bunny having an iconic status in our early lives. I feel like Zombieland was another film that had like a wee bit of sort of, you know, like a forbidden status for people our age. Because again, we were like 11 when it came out. And this was like this sort of hardcore zombie film. It's so much fun. I think it holds up really well still. I think some of the jokes are a little bit dated. Some of the visual effects are a little bit dated. But like, it's about the dynamic between these characters. And I think the film gets that so right. And like, I mean, we were talking about trivia beforehand. Every one of these actors has been nominated for an Oscar. Emma Stone's the only one to have won, but like Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Abigail Breslin, all again, like after this film. So this, you know, film I feel like was a big catalyst for everyone's careers. And it's just so much fun. The Bill Murray sequence is just brilliant. I know you're a big Bill Murray fan.
Massive Bill Murray
so
fan.
So good.
Yeah. You were saying about legend status. I remember being shown the DVD of this. I was like 11 at a friend's house, he was like, I've got Zombieland, do you want to watch Zombieland? I'm allowed to watch Zombieland. But I will watch Zombieland. Like, yes, of course I want to watch this. And I don't think I fully understood what the hell was going on, but it was such a good time. You could tell from then. And yeah, I love rewatching it. I love the Bill Murray scene. I think that is excellent.
Just the best cameo ever. Best cameos of all time.
It's a top tier cameo, that's for sure. I don't think there is a better cameo in
Zombieland. Double Tap has a good one as well.
The same Bill Murray cameo or a different
Bill Murray cameo? Yeah, yes, what they do with Bill Murray in that?
Yeah, that film may have its flaws, but I have to say the entire sequence of the cameos in that film are incredible stuff.
So good.
Yeah. I like it. It was originally envisioned as a TV show. I believe I remember reading this, and you were telling me about this before as well. It's not Rhett and Link, because that's the YouTubers. What are the names of them again? Reese and Wernick. At least one of them did Deadpool.
They did Deadpool.
They
went on to do Deadpool.
They envisioned it as a TV show, and that's why there's obviously the Zombie Kill of the Week, because that was going to be a weekly segment. There's lots of just little cool bits. I could have seen it. I would have killed her zombie. They should reboot it as a TV show,
say,
I think.
Do you think it would have worked as a TV show? I think so.
On a major network, yeah. On like a cable, like a one with a budget. I don't think it could have worked on like, a network.
It needed money
like
behind it, yeah.
Yeah, it needed a lot of money behind it. But it could have been great.
Because this was around the same time The Walking Dead was about as well. Yeah. And that was obviously a very serious... Like, this Zombieland is inspired by Shaun of the Dead. And it sort of came out when there was this sort of big wave of zombie films. And, like, I think as a TV show, it would have been great because Walking Dead was a super serious, super dark TV show. And it worked for that. And then you have Zombieland, which is so good because it doesn't take itself seriously. And that's part of the appeal. And I think that would have been a nice wee sort of contra... I don't know if it would have worked against The Walking Dead, like, as a TV show in, like, a Walking Dead-dominated world. But, like, it's a cool concept for a TV show.
I think it was 10 years too late. 10 years too early. Sorry, I think it should have come out. I think if they're going to make a TV show, they should have made it around about 2018, because that would have been a perfect time for it to release, because they've had the Netflix money, they'd have had all that, you know what I mean? Yeah. And back then, shows were a bigger gamble than a movie, so that's, you know what I mean, they could make their money back, but shows are much more of a gamble. But yeah, I don't know. I forgot my other point was going to be there, because I had a second point, I'm just completely mind-blanked. I have completely forgotten. But yeah, I think it would have been so cool, but... We'll never know, really, I guess.
I know. It's a shame, though. I'm blanking as well.
My brain has gone to mush, and I don't know what's happened. I'm going to leave this bit in, because I just want everyone to know I have died and midway through this episode. It's so fucking hot as well. I don't know if it's hot in Edinburgh, but it's so...
It's warm. It's warm today. Here.
It's warm so today. Boiling. Yeah. I don't even know. What's your favourite moment? Outside Bill Murray, obviously. What's your favourite moment in this entire film?
The zombie kill of the week.
I just think it's...
They have such inventive kills. Like, such inventive kills. And I think it's so funny. And again, just the way that they address the concept of these really crazy kills is that there are people trying to do that. Trying to find the most ludicrous way to kill these zombies. Fun fact, obviously Amber Heard has a small role in this she's not really given a name, she's known as 406. She's like sort of from the start of the film. Emma Stone was actually supposed to be that role and not Wichita. Wichita was supposed to go to Megan Fox originally.
That though in Wichita's role. It's very Megan Fox, if that makes sense. I mean, it's very much this badass, like, woman sort of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sexy, very sort of cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think Emma Stone's career would be the same if she hadn't played Wichita?
Not even in the slightest. I do not think so at all. Yeah. Obviously she was getting quite big in the on some of the other stuff going on, but I think this really cemented her. I think this has to be the point. The turning point.
I think this cemented all four of them.
Yeah. Well, Woody Harrelson, maybe not, but I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse Eisenberg obviously became a sort of semi household name by this situation. Emma Stone, the same. Abigail Breslin, obviously, doing great work again. She was just in Stillwater. But yeah, Emma Stone, I mean, this came up, this was a perfect time. This came up peak zombie fever. This was when the world was going crazy for zombies again. Like, there was a time where zombies were in literally fucking everything, and this capitalized on everyone seemed to be fascination with zombies. This came at the perfect time, perfect vehicle to launch that. All the cast again. It was, yeah, I think this really did make her. I think this is what she was known for, at least in the beginning. I mean, now, if you ask anyone, Emma Stone movie, what are you thinking? La La Land, something like that. If you asked anyone 2 years ago, you'd say Zombieland.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because obviously Superbad is a super iconic film. And that was her first film. But she doesn't have a massive role in it. Like, to the point where, like, that film put Jonah Hill on the map. It sort of, you know, it put Michael Cera on the map. Emma Stone was great in it, but I feel like it, you know, it didn't put her on the map. And then Easy A, and obviously that sort of role did, but... I feel like this showed, because look at her career, House Bunny, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, you know, they're a very sort of similar brand to Easy A, whereas this was very different, and I think this was what showed people she has versatility, and in that sense just made her such a massive star, I personally think.
Oh, of course. I agree. It really did 100%. Yeah, it just really made her.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's. You could talk about Zombieland for ages, but I mean, what else is there to say other than it's so much fun? It's 88 minutes long, and it's. I mean, you're not gonna have a bad time.
It's super short. Yeah. I mean, that really just. I remember watching it for the first time and just being taken aback by its length, because films nowadays are. Long, especially sort of big blockbusters, which, you know, I wouldn't say it's a massive blockbuster, but it was like a big sort of sized film, you know, from Sony and everything. And, like, it's refreshing, I think, to see... That's what I liked about the second one as well. Also, just a very tight runtime.
Of course, yeah. No, I wasn't massive on the second one. I mean, we'll talk about this more, but I thought second one wasn't as funny and it wasn't as inventive, but I really enjoyed... Like, I still enjoyed it, if that makes sense. I never got to see it in cinemas, but I got to see it a couple of months after it came out, but yeah.
Yeah.
The first one is peak film, and I'm not quite sure where I'm going to rate it, but we'll see. What are you thinking about rating for the rating?
I was going to go 3.
Oh, right.
Because I really enjoyed it. I didn't get a chance to rewatch it recently. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it and stuff, but then I'm going to go 4, because I remember even when I first saw it, I remember only giving it a 3. I don't even remember why I did, but, like, it's just so much fun. Like, it's just one of the easiest films to watch. You know you're going to laugh. You're going to get some cool scares in there. You know, there's some decent jumps. It's funny. I mean, it just gets everything right. Like, there's a lot of heart to it, to the characters, to the dynamics, to the Wichita and Columbus dynamic as well. And I think it is just a very iconic film. So I love it. And, I mean, I'm going to give it 4.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to give it 4 as well. This is one of the films I really enjoy. This is, you know, comedy action is where I'm at, and that's me to a T, and I really did enjoy it. So, yeah, 4 stars for me. Just, I think the cast, great. Everyone is really funny. Everyone is really on fine form. So, yeah, 4 out of 5 for me, which gives it an 8 out of 10. So there we are for Zombieland. Now give me 2 seconds because we need to pad the rest of this episode out.
I was going to say,
we really flow through them yet.
I've got a question related to Zombieland I was going to ask you.
All right, go for it. Hit me with a question.
So do you think that Zombieland double tap? Because I think most people's issue with it was that it was too late. Do you think it would have been better and a bigger success if it had come out of, like, in a shorter amount of time after the first, or do you think they should have just left the first alone?
That's the thing, because I would have said, if I hadn't seen the movie, obviously I would have said, yes, don't give me another one, I really want another one. Like, yeah, 100%, any time of day, give me it. Yeah. But I do think it would have been better, I mean, if it come out quicker. I mean, if you maybe left it 5 years instead of 10 years. It was 10 years, over 10 years you waited on that sequel.
I think it sort of faded at that point.
It really has.
It's still a massive film, but I think its sort of relevance had faded. Zombies had faded, and I think
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it's hard to do that.
The whole zombie thing in the kind of cultural zeitgeist, I guess, had sort of faded away.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't as. I mean, we'd gone after Zombieland came out, went into vampires for a bit. I mean, we're out of vampires now. I don't even know where we're at now, but zombies were ages away in terms of what was popular at this point, and now we're on something completely different. So when that came out, it was sort of missing. It missed the boat by a good 6 years. It was really, really gone.
I mean, I think...
Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, I think even if it came out, like, now, zombies are starting to maybe come back slightly in a different extent. You know, you've got films like sort of Overlord and Army of the Dead recently. I feel like now could have even been, like, if they wanted the weight, now that, you know, obviously Emma Stone was a massive star before, but, like, I feel like, if, you know, it was either bring it sooner or wait longer, I think.
Yeah, I think they just timed it. It was really badly timed. I guess it was just because of scheduling conflicts and everything and stuff. And I don't know if, I mean, I'd imagine they had a sequel planned. I mean,
I think, like, so. I think they did. Right. I think it just got lost under, you know, other work. Like, I remember reading that obviously the writers end up going on to Deadpool, and Ruben went off to do Venom, and I think the schedules just didn't line up. So I feel like that's partly why it also took so long, because everyone got really famous after this, and everyone was in demand.
I think that's more on success. I think the film isn't as good though, as well. Like I do. I mean, we'll talk about this when we get to Double Tap. But I also think the film isn't as good as the first one. I just don't think it is as good. So
it's not special. It doesn't feel as unique.
No, it really isn't. And I guess maybe that's what... Maybe Sony did make the right decision on not making it a TV show, because it could have been... It could have got on your nerves quite quickly, and it would have been over within like a season or two. Like, I don't think it would have made it very far. So, hey, that's kind of...
I'll tell you
it's
what,
a shame,
though.
But, yeah.
I'll tell you what, if they want to do something with this franchise, I'll happily take like a sequel every 10 years and just check in on these characters every like decade or so. Like, if they want to go down that route, I think that could be quite, that could be fun. That could be a cool
that
little
could
twist.
Be
you
a
know,
lot
give me
of fun.
Give me a film in like, you know, 7-8 years and bring the same cat, and we'll check in again on them. Another 10-year check in on them. Like, I feel like they could do, you know, at least make it a trilogy, you know, in another 10 years, let's see where they're at. Let's see what they're doing.
Everyone has an Academy Award by then. It's not just Emma Stone. Everyone has the Academy Award. They're all minted rich. Yeah, 100%. That would have been great. It's just a shame. I didn't really love that film when it came out. But hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So a quick roundup of the scores today. Obviously, you gave Unlikely Hero a 3. I gave it a 2. And that was a 5 out of 10 for us for that one. And I don't have the full rankings up yet because I'm still... I forgot to do some research because I forgot what we gave The Rocker, and I still haven't looked up to see what we gave The Rocker yet.
And so, we recorded that a while ago.
Yes. So the next episode, I promise you, we'll start creating the list, the pointless list, I believe is what we'll call it, for the list that doesn't really matter, because we'll obviously have a ranking show at the very end where we talk all things like what our personal favourites are. I mean, that's a much better format than just sort of compiling the scores together. I mean. Compiling the scores together are kind of good to see where we kind of lie with things and to give a good
idea overall
of
view. Yeah.
Yeah, but doing individual lists is much better, and I think it kind of made up for much better for what we're going for. But yeah, I mean, yeah, what are you gonna do? And obviously, you gave Zombieland a 4. I gave it a 4. So that was an 8 out of 10. So that's gonna be quite high at the top, I'd imagine. I think that'll probably be one of the best.
I don't know.
For now,
I
at least.
Don't know. For now,
for a couple
now.
More episodes,
but
I don't know.
How many
fives do you think Emma has? That's the thing that we agree on.
True.
As well.
But how many fours does she have? Because remember, with Vin, like, we had a lot of sort of middle ground films. Like, 8 out of 10 when we were sort of looking through Vin's career was like high, and that was gonna stick. But like,
that was Strays. That was there forever.
Yeah, and I feel like obviously Emma's career has maybe started out a little bit sort of, you know, lesser than sort of Vin's early career for sort of like, you know, comparing our scores for the two. But I feel like it'll be interesting to see where Zombieland sort of ends up at the end of it all, knowing sort of where we're maybe going and some of the stuff coming up.
I would hope top 10. I think it might be in my top 10. So we'll see where things lie. Because, I mean, there's still some bad stuff to come. I don't know if you've seen what's coming up next, but
there's also some great stuff to come.
There's some great stuff coming, but some real stinkers coming up.
Oh no.
yeah, because next week, well, I don't know about, I've only seen one of the movies, I believe. We're talking about Easy A and Friends with Benefits, possibly with a guest. We don't know for sure yet. We're gonna get that. Oh, I don't want to announce that too early. But maybe we'll have someone else joining us next week. Who knows? If you are someone who's interested in being on the show, you can reach out to us on Twitter. That'd be great to let us know what film you want to, what films you want to do in the future.
Come
what's your favorite Emma Stone movie?
Emma Stone. Just come get
come
stoned with
us. Be great if you are a famous person. Hi.
If you're Emma Stone, we're available.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you can reach out. You can get to me on Twitter at CamsOG. I also do some writing on ohiofilms.com. I do another podcast called Four Eyes and the Giant with Jordy Steele. We talk about the nerdy news. That's off at the moment. I don't, probably by the time this comes out, I'll be back. But I do another, so we're doing that. And it's like just a topic by topic, which is a news and review through some movies. Oasis, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Oasis Oasis, or on www.thefilmbyte.com. I write reviews. So yeah, come give them a read. Come tweet at me if you want to talk about Emma Stone.
Yeah, so everything's in the description. So yeah, if you're on Spotify or all that, give us a subscribe, follow. If you're iTunes, leave a rating, whatever you need to do. We'll see you next week with Easy A and Friends with Benefits, and a guest maybe. So we'll see you then.